Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this morning to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know this Sunday is it Super Bowl Sunday this Sunday? Is that something that's going on today? But we give God thanks that you are here with us this morning, worshiping and praising the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, for those of you who are our new officers, will be coming, getting together next Sunday, just for a time of familiarizing ourselves with some of the basic responsibilities and duties of what it means to be an officer, particularly a deacon and an elder. So that will take place next Sunday after worship, February the 20th. Also, just again, a reminder to please read your not only read your bulletin, but also go to our web page and our Facebook page so that you can stay abreast of developments here at Alney Presbyterian Church as we seek to communicate and convey to you what is going on inside the life of this particular congregation.
Our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. This is God's word for us today. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came forth from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you that hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you that weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you, and cast out your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you that are full now, for you shall hunger. Woe to you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading today comes from the Old Testament. We'll be reading from Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. It's found on page 665 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the mind and try the heart to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." It's the word of the Lord. Amen. Our text this morning is basically about trust. Who will we trust in times of difficulty and adversity? Will we put our trust in God, who is the creator God and the source of all blessings? Or will we put our trust primarily in ourselves, in our own flesh, our own strength, our own smarts? That's the question that the prophet Jeremiah is posing to his people, Israel, in the text that we just read. They have been carried away in captivity deep into Babylon. They are cut off from Jerusalem, cut off from the temple, seemingly cut off from God. We can imagine perhaps the trauma that the people are feeling in the there in Babylon. But it's in the midst of that disaster that the prophet poses the choice that is before him. He tells them that they could either weather the storm by trusting in God, the God who has been with them, the God who has chosen them, the God who had brought them through the desert, the God who had liberated them from Egypt. They could either trust in this God now that they were deep down in Babylon because of their sins, or they can try to figure things out on their own. They can trust in their own flesh. They could put their faith and trust in human beings. One way, the prophet says, will lead to blessings and life, and the other way will lead to curses and death. But that's the choice that is set before the people of Israel deep in Babylon. Of course, that same choice remains before us as well in the midst of all that we experience, whether it is in a pandemic, whether it's a time of national emergency, whether it is war, whether it is economic meltdown, or whether it is a personal crisis. The question remains, who will we trust? Who will we put our confidence in? Who will we primarily listen to? Will we listen to the president? Will we trust him above anyone else? Will we trust in our national leaders among everyone else? Will we trust in our military? Will we trust in Wall Street? Will we trust in the strength of our economy? Will we trust in the scientific community? Who will we trust? First and foremost, I know that for many of us professed followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a no-brainer. We know who we will put our trust in. We will put our trust and faith in God. I see that a lot. I see a lot of memes on social media professing just that. I put my faith and trust in God. We put our faith in God. That's what our money says. In God we trust. We profess that all the time. We put our faith and trust in God. The problem is that the prophet Jeremiah knows something. He knows something about us. Knows something about human nature, something about the human heart. Jeremiah, more than anyone, is concerned about the heart. The heart, he says, is exceedingly deceitful and corrupt. Who can know it? It was John Calvin who advanced the doctrine of total depravity. We human beings, he said, are totally depraved. He didn't mean by that, of course, that we live lives that are totally debauched. He simply meant that every aspect of our human nature has been captured by the power of sin. Our intellect, our desires, our wills, our imaginations, our ability to reason, our hearts themselves, they have all been captured by the power of sin. And therefore, if you want to see what it is that we really place our trust in, don't look at our grand professions of faith, but look at the small, ordinary, everyday choices and decisions that are made all the time. Decisions about what we will do with our money, what we do with our time, what we do with our bodies, how we treat our neighbors, how we treat those who are different from us, how we treat those who are the strangers in our land, how we treat the poor, how we live. on a day-to-day basis. Decisions and choices that reveal the true contents of our hearts. Trust, then, is not simply about making professions of faith, but it concerns what we do with our lives. One of the best descriptions of trust was one I heard not long ago by the preacher Alex Evans. He tells a story about a young boy who sees a matronly-looking woman sitting under an umbrella on the beach. The boy walks over to the woman and says, "Excuse me, are you a Christian?" And the woman says, "Yes, I am, for a matter of fact." And the boy says, "Do you go to church every Sunday?" And again, the woman says, "Yes, indeed I do. Every Sunday I go to church." "Do you pray every day?" says the boy. "Yes, I pray quite often. I pray every day, sometimes two or three times a day. I pray quite often," said the woman. And with that, the boy asked his final question. "Then will you please hold my $2 while I go swimming?" That's what trust is about. It's about allowing God to hold our lives. It's about allowing God to change us, allowing God to transform our hearts so that our lives reflect more and more of the character of God. Even in the midst of adversity and difficulty, who will we allow to hold our lives? Who will we entrust our lives over to? Will we trust our lives to God and let God have God's way with our lives? Or will we put our faith and trust in what the world encourages us to put our faith and trust in? Jeremiah says, "Cursed are those who put their trust in the flesh, in human beings. They are like shrub in a parched desert place. When it is subjected to heat, it dries up and it just kind of blows away like a tumbleweed." We've all seen those pictures of tumbleweeds just aimlessly blowing in the wind. Some people are like that. They're not connected to anything substantive. They're not connected to anything real. They place their trust in things that really cannot help in the long run. I know sometimes people think that they are correct in what they place their trust in. Sometimes people think that they're being wise and smart and intelligent when they put their faith and trust in things like money, wealth. I remember several years ago reading about a woman that had a sizable fortune, a good amount of money. Her life looked relatively secure from our American standpoint. And then came the financial crises and a financial scam. And suddenly this woman whose whole future seemed secure found herself without her fortune, having to go back to work in her 60s as a nurse. But whenever we place our trust in human beings, whenever we place our trust in human institutions, no matter how secure, no matter how strong they might look, our lives are actually like a shrub in a parched, uninhabited place. Not connected to anything substantive, not rooted in anything that can bring life. The prophet says, "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord." Those who trust in the Lord are like a tree that's planted by the water. The Bible talks a lot about trees. the cedars of Cyprus, the tree of life, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The Bible talks a lot about trees. I like trees. The bigger, the taller, the better. We used to plant trees here in the community, all kinds of trees. We planted around the church and many yards here in this Olney community and all over. All kinds of trees, small trees, big trees, fruit trees. But the interesting thing about trees is not just what you can see above ground. The interesting thing about trees is what happens below the ground. Trees, we all know, have an elaborate root system to keep them grounded and connected to the source of life. So when adversity comes and we are reminded that adversity will come, the prophet never promises that we will have a life free of adversity. God never promises that we will have a life free of adversity. Adversity will come. But for those who are rooted and grounded in God, for those who have their trust in the Lord, they are like a tree that is planted by the waters. When adversity comes, they are connected and grounded. They are connected to the source of life itself. And so they are able to withstand the adversities and difficulties to come our way. We've all seen people like that. We've all seen people who are like trees. We've all seen people who, despite what's going on around them, they still reflect God's love. They reflect God's kindness. They reflect God's mercy. They reflect God's compassion. They reflect the very character of God in the midst of everything that goes on around them. I remember earlier in this pandemic, a nurse was being interviewed at a large urban hospital. And the interviewer was saying, well, how do you hold up? Are you frustrated because there's a lot of people who have quit and you're overworked? And the young nurse said, yes, I'm frustrated. The interviewer said, are you fearful for your life? It's a dangerous kind of situation to be in. And she said, yes, I'm frustrated and I'm fearful, a little fearful for this disease and pandemic. At that time, people were still trying to grasp what it was and get to understand it a little bit more. And this woman was saying, yes, she was both frustrated and fearful. And the interviewer said, well, how do you maintain in the midst of this kind of environment, in the midst of this kind of storm, in the midst of this kind of heat? And the woman said, I'm a Christian. And this is what Christians do. She was a tree, like a tree planted by the water in the midst of adversity, in the midst of all kinds of tension and danger. She continued to care after patients because she understood that that's what Christians do. We all know of reading about heroic Christians during times of war and conflict, and war and conflict when everyone else is engaged in the act of self-preservation, when everyone is kind of looking after themselves, when everyone is afraid. There are always those Christians who, despite the adversity and the difficulty around them, they reflect the Lord Jesus Christ himself. People like Corrie Ten Boom, the woman who hid Jews in Nazi-occupied Europe. She was like a tree planted by waters. In the midst of adversity, she stayed connected. She stayed connected to the source of life itself, and it didn't change her. She wasn't changed by war. She wasn't changed by conflict. She wasn't changed by danger. She wasn't changed by want. But she reflected the character of God, God's self. A stable, powerful presence in the midst of difficulty and adversity. Blessed are are those who trust in the Lord, the prophet says. Now, I know there are some people who read that passage and they say, that's not true. It's not true that those who put their trust in the Lord are blessed. And it's not true that those who put their trust in human beings are cursed. Some people who put their faith and trust in God are often seem like they are God forsaken. And some people who never even give God any consideration, they're doing just fine, thank you very much. They seem to prosper. So it's not true what the prophet is saying here. I was reading something just the other day where someone was making that very argument. They were saying that Jeremiah simply is whistling in the dark. It's all fantasy. That the righteous are seldom blessed. And the unrighteous are often people who do quite well. But that's because they have a warped understanding of what it means to be blessed. Often when we think about blessings, we think about material comforts, or we think about pleasure, or we think about something like that. But blessing is not about material things. It's not about having material things. Blessing is not about having pleasure or enjoying pleasure. Blessing is about a relationship. A relationship that keeps us connected to the source of life itself. A relationship that keeps us connected to God's coming future. That's what it means to be blessed. It means to be connected to God at all times, even in times of adversity. Jesus certainly understood that. In the passage that Lisa read this morning from Luke, Jesus is gathering disciples around himself. He has just gathered disciples on the mountaintop. He's come down to the plain, and Jesus knows. He is gathering people to follow him, to follow his way in the world, and he knows that's not going to be an easy undertaking. He knows that to be a follower of him, to follow in his way, that people will experience all kinds of deprivations. He knows that some of them are going to be poor. I know we have often turned that upside down. We said that to be a follower of Jesus, to be a follower of God in a way is some kind will bring prosperity and all the other kind of things. But Jesus recognized that to follow him in the world will often mean poverty, will often mean deprivation. To follow him in the world will often mean that people are hungry. To follow him in the world will mean that people like the Apostle Paul himself will suffer adversity. To be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ often means to be at odds with the world, and the world often will not like it, and they will strike out in ways that make followers of God, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, vulnerable. But Jesus says that those who follow him will be blessed. Blessed are you who are poor, he tells his disciples. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who are persecuted for my sake. You will be blessed. In fact, Jesus doesn't say you will be blessed. He says that you are blessed. You are blessed even now. You are blessed. You are blessed because you are connected to me. You are blessed because you are connected to God. You are blessed because you are connected to the source of things. You are blessed because you are connected to God's coming future. Blessed are you. Because you are like a tree planted by the waters. When the heat comes, when you feel the heat, and you will feel the heat, you will still have what it takes to sustain the life of what it means to be a follower of God. Someone who puts their faith and trust in God. And so the question before all of us in this day and age, the question before all of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ is, will we be like a mighty tree, or will we be a shrub? Will we place our faith and trust in God? Or will we try to fortify our lives by placing our faith and trust in the world, in our own flesh? Jeremiah says that the Lord knows the heart. He knows the heart of each and every one of us. What kind of heart do you have this morning? What kind of heart do we all have? Do we have a deceitful heart? Or do we have a heart of gold, a heart of life, a heart that connects us to the beating heart of love that holds the whole world together? Will we be like a tree, or will we be like a shrub? That's the choice before us this morning. And it's up to us as to whether we will live a life of blessedness and life, or whether we will walk down the ways of cursing, curses, in death. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have set before us two ways that on the surface look quite easy and simple, and yet you know how difficult it is for us sometimes to choose. We zigzag back and forth between the ways. One way sometimes looks quite promising because it has before us all the glitter and gold that the world can place before us. If we just follow this way, if we just pursue this light, if we just chase after that pot of gold, then our lives will be fulfilled and secure. The other path is the one that you have set before us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is a path that has a cross on it. It's a path that we sometimes veer far from because it asks us to give of ourselves. It asks us to engage in sacrifice for the coming kingdom. It asks us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It asks us to be compassionate towards those we would rather not be compassionate towards. It asks us to love not only our neighbors, but even our enemies. And so while we profess our faith and trust in you, the reality is that we zigzag back and forth. But you have shown us the path of life. The path of life is to follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave everything so that we might have life and have it in abundance. And so we ask, Lord, that you help us this morning, that you help us not to blow in the wind like a shrub that is disconnected, but that you help us to be grounded, grounded in your love, grounded in your mercy, grounded in your way, just like a tree that's planted by the waters. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.